Welcome to a day of windy worship at Advent. This morning, Bruce is doing double duty because Dar is sick, so we want to remember her in prayer. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, you have taught us that without love, whatever we do is worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts your great gift, which is love, the true bond of peace and of all virtue, without which whoever lives is accounted dead before you. Grant this for the sake of your only Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
The first lesson for this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 45, reading from verse 3. God brings salvation and life out of the choices we make for death and for evil. Joseph is called to go ahead of his family to prepare for them, as Jesus goes ahead of us to heaven, even as we have abandoned him and left him alone in betrayal on the cross. "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. "Come over here," he said. So they came closer. And he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But don't be angry with yourselves that you did this to me, for God did it. He sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. These 2 years of famine will grow to 7, during which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God has sent me here to keep you and your families alive so that you will become a great nation. Yes, it was God who sent me here, not you. And he has made me a counselor to Pharaoh, manager of his entire household and ruler over all Egypt. Hurry, return to my father and tell him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt. Come down to me right away, You will live in the land of Goshen, so that you can be near me with all your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all that you have. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, you and your household will come to utter poverty. So the sons of Jacob did as they were told. Joseph gave them wagons, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he supplied them with provisions for the journey, and he gave each of them new clothes. But to Benjamin he gave 5 changes of clothes and 300 pieces of silver. He sent his father 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 donkeys loaded with grain, and all kinds of other food to be eaten on the journey. So he sent his brothers off, and as they left, he called after them, "Don't quarrel along the way." And they left Egypt and returned to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. "Joseph is still alive," they told him, "and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt." Jacob was stunned at the news. He couldn't believe it. But when they had given him Joseph's messages, and when he saw the wagons loaded with the food sent by Joseph, his spirit revived. Then Jacob said, "It must be true. My son Joseph is alive. I will go and see him before I die." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 37, printed on page 4 of your bulletin. We'll read responsibly at the asterisk. Put your trust in the Lord and do good.
Dwell in the land and feed on its riches.
Take delight in the Lord,
and he shall give you your heart's desire.
Commit your way to the Lord and put your trust in him,
and he will bring it to pass.
He will make your righteousness as clear as the light,
and your just dealing as the noonday.
Be still before the Lord,
and wait patiently for him.
Do not fret yourself over the one who prospers,
the one who succeeds in evil schemes.
Refrain from anger. Leave rage alone.
Do not fret yourself. It only leads to evil.
For evildoers shall be cut off.
Those who wait upon the Lord shall possess the land.
The second lesson for this morning is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, reading from verse 35. We often long for a seed to sprout the moment it hits the soil, and are discouraged when the field remains barren. May we remember that the season of growth begins out of sight and is given by God himself. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a dry little seed of wheat or whatever it is you are planting. Then God gives it a new body, just the kind he wants it to have, a different kind of plant grows from each kind of seed. It is the same way for the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies, which die and decay, will be different when they are resurrected, for they will never die. Our bodies now disappoint us, but when they are raised, they will be full of glory. They are weak now, but when they are raised, they will be full of power. They are natural human bodies now, but when they are raised, they will be spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, so also there are spiritual bodies. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is, Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What came first was the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Every human being has an earthly body just like Adam's, but our heavenly bodies will be just like Christ's. Just as we are now like Adam, the man of the earth, so we will someday be like Christ, the man from heaven. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These perishable bodies of ours are not able to live forever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
If you were listening to the readings before that John shared, in the Old Testament was a story of Joseph who was treated vilely by his brothers. But he said, God turned it around for good. Then we get to the Psalm, which talks about how do we walk? Do good, and in due time you'll get the land that God has promised you. Don't worry about what's happening around you. Just do good. And then the epistle reading from Paul talks about what happens at the end, that we are a seed. In many ways, when we do the right thing, even when those around us say, how can you be like that? It's almost like we are planting seeds in the ground that are going to grow up into eternal life. Don't understand it, but I'm going to do good, so I will possess the land that God has promised in light of what happened, in spite of what happens around me. That could have been the message. But it's only a prelude to the gospel. I'm reading from Luke 6, starting in verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, don't withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and your sons will be, you will be sons of the highest. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn, and you'll not be condemned. Pardon, and you'll be pardoned. Give, and it'll be given to you. They will pour out into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Be seated. It's my pleasure to introduce to you my brother. The one I've talked about is a real person. We're going to share the message today that the context is going to be public education, but the idea is how do we respond? You've heard the gospel, you heard about Joseph. How do we respond in a culture that sometimes is not very supportive of who we are? Finn, in his career, was in public education as a teacher, guidance counselor, assistant principal, principal, and finally superintendent in Firelands in Lorain County. And for over a dozen years, he had served as the head of Christian Educators International, an organization of Christian public school teachers. So he's had great experience. But here's what we're going to talk about. He and I both came to the Lord, I believe in the 70s for you two. And just two simple points. One is people are watching how you live. And secondly, according to the word, we're called to be witnesses. Finn, why don't you start by talking about some of the experiences you've seen where you discover, Shazam, people are watching.
Certainly love to do that. And I would just say, I'm really glad to be here. And know when I came in, a lot of people said, you're the guy he's always telling stories on. Well, I want to let you know I'm here for equal time. You're the guys he's always telling me stories about, so we'll do that.
Yeah, people are always listening.
Recently, my wife went home to be with the Lord at the end of December, and we had a celebration of her life, and
our family members decided that's not working.
No,
it's directional.
What does that mean?
You have to hold it.
How about that? All right, thank you. So at the homecoming, we decided that various family members would share, but we weren't going to talk about...
I think this will work better.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm used to yelling at kids, so you guys are just going to be my kids today. But we decided we weren't going to talk about each other about what we were going to share about my life, that we were just going to speak from from the heart. And the first person to share was my grandson, 16 years old, and he felt that as the oldest grandchild, there's six of them ranging down to 2 years old, and he's the 16-year-old. He said, I felt I needed to say something on behalf of the grandchildren. I won't say I wasn't nervous, but he was the first to share, and he got up and shared it and said, you know, my Nana, or our Nana, loved us. And he went on to say about how she served the grandchildren. And he gave the story he told. I didn't even remember the story, but he said one day they were over at our house at a big dinner table, and dinner was brought out, and by the look on the face of the grandchildren, it was not the menu they had been hoping for. And he said, Nana just quietly slipped into the kitchen, and a little while later came back with a whole big bowl of cheese quesadillas. But what she had done is actually cut them into little triangles so even the two-year-old could pick it up with fingers. You see, they were watching. She didn't say, now I'm going to serve you. She just did it. And clearly, he said, my Nana's love language was service. So we know that she loved us. And next, my children got up to share it, along with myself. But they talked about their mother being the servant. Now Linda had struggled with rheumatoid arthritis since a very young age. Most of her joints have been replaced at least once. Many of them fused. Her hands were gnarled. So the reality of it is a good day for her was not hurting too much. And yet, she was the servant. She would never have come up here and stood next to Paul and I to share, but she'd be in the back working somewhere. It's just who she was. And that's what my children remembered about her and shared about her, their mom, the servant. You see, they watched her in an entire life, and that's really what they experienced. And if you don't mind me jumping a little into...
Just before you do that, because we want to justify what we're talking about by throwing in a scripture.
There you go. That's why you always bring your pastor, right?
That's right. Psalm 145:4. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. The concept, we're supposed to live in such a way that others see how we live. That's what Linda was in a highly nonverbal way. Back to you.
Yeah, you know, she didn't preach a sermon or even have a great gathering in a stadium somewhere. She walked out the biblical principle that others are more important than me. That's radical. Others are more important, and she lived that out. So her preaching was being seen by others, not so much heard. Let me just share a little bit into my career. I remember being a counselor at a middle school right out in Marin County. I was a middle school counselor, and I have to be honest with you, if I ever heard the truth that we could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'd never experienced that. I didn't even know it was an option. And here I am, 30 years old. I'm a school counselor. Zoom! I experienced Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know Paul had come to faith earlier, and I remember thinking, well, that's okay for a pastor. He probably needs that, you know? Got to have a story to tell, but I didn't need that, of course. But lo and behold, I find the Lord. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Scriptures come alive to me. And here I am in a counseling role. And I got my master's degree at Ohio State University, and they taught non-directive counseling. It was called Regerian counseling, and it was based on the theory that there is no right or wrong, so how dare we lead children to any conclusion? And in fact, our grades were lowered when our counseling examples were evaluated if we led them anywhere, because what we were told to do is do things like, oh, so you hate your mother. Oh, so you feel this way. We were just to reflect back to them what they told us so they could discover their own truth, because there is no ultimate truth. And so the word comes alive to me. I have this personal relationship with the Lord, and I realize I'm not counseling based on this truth. So my first experiment with the truth in my counseling position was this young student named Bobby. Bobby was a middle school student who had figured it out. And he figured out that the school has no power over him because he doesn't really care to learn. He's figured out that eventually they move you to the high school where you can quit. And what's the biggest punishment you can have in school? Are we allowed to speak here? No.
I think so.
Okay. It's suspension. And so he tried to get suspended. And pretty soon they stopped suspending him and said, Finn, why don't you spend some time with him? So I thought, here's my experiment. The word says that we're all created in the image of God. So I started wondering, what would happen if I treated Bobby as if he was created in the image of God, even though he didn't act like it? So he spent a lot of time in my office. I showed him all kinds of respect. I told him he had great potential. He would ask me why, and I said, because you're created in the image of God. And he said, well, see, I didn't break the law because teachers, educators don't lose their freedom of speech if they're asked. So, yeah, I haven't asked him about the question. So I said, well, that's what the Bible says. I'm a follower of Jesus. We follow this book. And I pointed out all his strong characteristics. He was a great leader. All the school hoodlums would do anything he said. He was creative. He found ways to disrupt class different every single day. This kid was a challenge. And I remember one day, he actually spent more time in my office than he did in class. But one day he was in his class. I get a phone call from the office principal saying, go to Bobby's class, quick! So I ran down the hallway. And if you can imagine, here's this seventh grade classroom, totally quiet. Now that in itself is unusual. But in the corner is Bobby with a baseball bat, working the teacher into the corner saying, I'm going to kill your blankety blank blank. And I thought, now this is a problem. I could walk up to him like I learned at Ohio State and say, Bobby, you seem a little upset today. But I thought, that's probably not the best method. So I went up behind him. I said, Bobby, made sure he'd look me in the face so he wouldn't hurt me. We had a pretty good relationship, took him in a headlock and took him down. Now, what happens to Bobby? He gets expelled, right? You can't have somebody in school that really could potentially kill a teacher. So and then what they also do to him, when the expulsion is up, they move him to the high school so he can quit pretty soon.
Did you ever hear what happened to him?
Well, interesting you should say that. Ask that question, Bob. That's right. No. Yeah. Many years later, I'm at the Firelands District. I'm a high school principal, and in, guess who was? Yeah. Only he's now in a big man's body with Bobby's head. And I recognize him right away because in education, we like to pretend we remember everybody, but we sometimes just remember those that really challenged us. And so he comes in and says, can I come in? And I look over at him, no baseball bat. It looked like didn't look like he was carrying. So I said, yeah, come on in. He said, hey, Mr. Larson, do you ever hear what happened to me after I left the middle school? I said, no. He said, well, I became one of Lorain County's biggest drug dealers. And I thought, yeah, you're creative, entrepreneurial. I guess I was right? So he said that he had all these guys working for him, and he probably would have gotten away with it much longer, but he got so high one day that he made a major error and he was arrested. He was so high that rather than taken to jail, they took him to the hospital. So I'm thinking, why is he telling me all this? And finally goes and he said, and I just got out of jail and I wanted to find you because there's something I wanted to tell you. I said, oh, what's that? He said, I was listening. He said, I know I acted as if I didn't hear you and didn't buy anything you were saying, but I was listening. He said, one day in my lower bunk in the jail cell, I was lowest I've ever been in my life, depressed, and I started thinking about those things about God's image that you told me. And I want you to know that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I listened. Really got my attention and reinforced it in my mind what we're talking about here, that people are listening.
Early on, we had both, in college, we're both headed towards seminary, and Finn eventually left pre-theology to go into education. But later on, after you came to know the Lord, you realized that you were called to a mission field as well, just like me. Yours was public education. When you began to live out as a believer, did that ever have any negative impact?
Yes. Yeah, let's move on a couple years later when I'm superintendent. gentleman ran for the school board on the platform of getting rid of the Christian influence and starting with the superintendent. And and he did. I mean, I had developed a reputation of being the Christian superintendent, not by proclaiming it, but by living it out. In fact, I had met with all the district's pastors and said, you know, I'm a superintendent here in Firelands Monday through Saturday. On Sundays, I got nothing to do, and I'm not a superintendent. If you guys need someone to fill your pulpit, I could be available. You know, a lot of those churches in Firelands were small little churches with one or two staff members, one of them being the pastor. If they needed time off, it was a real challenge. So I ended up, over some years, I was superintendent there for 11 years, I ended up preaching in almost every single church. And those were the parents that when they had problems, they remembered the pulpit time. And so we could have a real good dialogue. But some resented that. And this individual was one of those. And he literally made life very miserable for me. He was happy to be a millionaire. He hired an attorney just to track me down, to go over all my phone calls, make sure I didn't say anything religious, confiscate all my texts or all my emails, anything you could figure evil he would do. When I tried to pass a levy to support the district, he hired a company to call all the homes in the district to try to defeat the levy. He said, I want you out of this district, and I want you not out now. I went to other districts to apply, and he contacted those districts and told them lies. It was not an exciting time.
The gospel reading for this morning, one of the verses was, bless those who curse you. And remember, Joseph, his brothers wanted him out of the way, but he said, God used it for good.
That's right.
So that works for you as well. Now, were there people who saw, now later in your life, who saw the challenges that you had and realized you might be a believer?
Absolutely. One of them happens to be sitting right there. And by the way, I asked Jim Jackson ahead of time if I could talk a little bit about him, so he's not too much on the spot. But Jim was one of those people. He's an extension of the Joy family. But his wife, Wendy, worked at Firelands. She was the choir director. And going to her concerts was like a worship experience, ending with the Alleluia chorus. See, one of the realities is you stack a district with believers, and it can start transforming the district. Went had an opportunity to hire Jim, her husband, to be our technology coordinator. Great guy on the team. What I didn't know at the time, I knew he was a believer, but I didn't really know that he was very young. He had a spiritual baby, and what I didn't know is that he was watching me. And I followed that Luke scripture with this guy being my enemy. There was no doubt he was my enemy. I wanted to retaliate. I wanted to set him up. I wanted to ask for help. I wanted to do all those things. He would publicly humiliate me. He would go and do a front page article about the deceptive things I was doing, the way I was breaking the law. None of it true, but he was trying to destroy me. And then I thought, okay, if this Bible is true, and it was, then I should be praying for him. And so I got a group of men at our church that agreed that they would pray for him. And what I didn't do is set him up behind his back. I didn't even tell the board what he was doing to me. But it was like hot coals on his head. He continually thought I was setting him up, and it was very troublesome. What ultimately happened is he got caught doing some of the things he did. He got driven off the board. He actually put his house up for sale and moved out of the district. And I got a 5-year extension on my contract. And I believe it was because of what went on there. Now, can I bring Jim into that?
I wanted to get back to him.
So again, I didn't know during this whole process, Jim was in my office a lot, helping with technology. He was on the leadership team. We'd meet regularly. And then he came and told me years later that the difference I had made in his walk. And I said, well Jim, how's that? He said, because I watched you. He said, I was a new believer, and I believed that this stuff in Scripture is true. But I'd never really seen it worked out the way you were working it out. faith got strengthened. I had an opportunity to spend more time with him, and our relationship grew. In fact, when I left Firelands to work for Christian Educators Association, I took Jim with me, and he became our technology guy.
So he heard the truth. In your time at that school, you actually were bombarded by, are you ready? Fake news.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you very much. So people are watching. The second thing is we're witnesses, and a part of your walk is a witness. You will remember this verse, Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And what that means is, I ought to be a witness at home, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my district, where I work, so that not by shouting out, I'm a believer, if you're not, you're going to hell, but rather living out what you believe. And in our world, our culture has changed dramatically. Finn and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. There's a verse in Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. In many ways, we can look at our society and say, our world has really been turned upside down. That which is evil can be seen as good. Now, share with the folks what you shared with me about teachers in the early 1800s.
Sure. Yeah. I ran into a teacher's contract that was written in the 1800s, and there was the expectation that a teacher had a relationship with the Lord. This was a contract with a male teacher that said he was expected to be in church at least once a week. And then it said if he was going to be courting a young lady, whatever courting was in the 1800s, that he needed to be in church twice a week. Apparently they thought that somehow would work. And then the contract said that after a 10-hour a day time at school, 10 hours a day at school, he could spend the rest of the day reading books, good books such as the Bible. So he was allowed to have some free time. I guess.
But these were public schools.
Yes. Probably before cable, so he couldn't watch any of the Fox News. But, yeah.
But it's an amazing thing.
Yes, and if you follow the news, you'll even see that now the Mrs. Pence, our vice president's wife, took a job teaching art at a Christian school, and she got blasted. That how could the wife of somebody, a high official, work for a hateful organization like the Christian school? Turned upside down.
Now, just pretend that this is a room of young believers who have just graduated from college with the ideal of wanting to live a Christian life as a public school teacher. In the culture that we're in, how would you encourage them?
Well, I would encourage them, this is from my personal experience, is to be in the Word every day. I mean, like my brother with having a very, very bad singing voice. But I would actually sing praises on the way to school so that my mind and my spirit was lined up for what I would come in contact with. I mean, I'm not trying to put down public schools. I'm trying to say public schools reflect the culture of the day, and the culture of the day is dark. And the good news, and this is what I tell young teachers, the good news is in a dark place, a little light illuminates more than in a light place. So if you live out the Word, it's radical. Others are more important than yourself. I mean, that is radical in a self-centered culture that believes that, I mean, our young children today mostly believe they are the center of the universe. If we teach them and live out the fact that others are more important than themselves, it's phenomenal. Also, that we really encourage young teachers to expand the curriculum. Not sure, you have to teach the curriculum there, but expand it, bringing in much of the truth that's absent from our public school.
Principles of truth. Exactly. Here's a good place to end. John led us in Psalm 37, and this is the last verse. Sometimes you look at our world and you say, oh my Lord, what's going to happen to our children and the next generation? Here's the promise of the Lord. First of all, verse 1 says, put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed off its riches. In other words, expect that God will provide for you. Then verse 10, evildoers will be cut off. Those who wait upon the Lord will possess the land. What you are praying for, the righteous restoration of the people of God in this great land of wonderful opportunity, is going to happen. Don't hide yourself away in a fortress. Don't curse what you see, but understand that God has raised you up for this generation to live out what you believe in a way that will impact others, because like Jim, people are watching and we are called to be witnesses. The Lord bless you. We're going to continue now with the Nicene Creed. I need to straighten up a little bit. Ray, you have a good voice. Would you mind leading the Nicene Creed? Let's all arise. Church, we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
The prayers of the people are found on page 7 in your bulletin. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation. For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, and for all bishops and other ministers, especially Pastor Paul.
For all who serve God in his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, especially for those listed in the bulletin. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
Your
praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you.
Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us.
Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word,
for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens.
Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ.
Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown,
things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you and forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
I'm just getting out of the way of all the time comments.
God bless you. Good grip. Come on, Lord, bless you.
Get you, sir.
Howdy. At least my family surprised me today. I didn't expect that.
Wonderful. Monica, good morning.
Well, goodness, how nice. Okay,
good
to see
you.
Fantastic.
Good.
John? Peace be with you, sister.
Yes.
Oh, yes. She was.
I'm a choir teacher, so I sing every day.
And with you? Raymond?
Wow, what a story.
Isn't that good? God bless you.
Good morning. Finn, on behalf of all of us, you are a witness. God bless you. Thank you for your message. So Paul mentioned to me a week or so ago that he wanted to have this Finn and Paul pony and dog show. And so we have. And it is incredible sitting there listening to Finn and Paul dialogue back and forth, how closely that message aligns with the Church in Babylon study that we're doing now. This study that I invite everyone to stay for after the service today is really intended to help us as 2019 believers figure out how to be a witness in a pagan culture that we live today, and what we can learn about how to live, what we can learn from the Jewish exiles in Babylon 2,600 years ago. And as you see in the bulletin today, the title of the series today is When the State Becomes God, Standing Strong While Others Bow. And so the real message in today's discussions from Dr. Erwin Lutzer is, how do we be a witness like Finn has told us about in his life? How do we be a witness and overcome those challenges that bear on us day by day? So I invite you to come. Awesome prelude to today, Paul, Finn. Thank you very much. We will have intercessory prayers in the back of the church during communion for anyone who would like to join us for some prayers. Pete, I think you have a couple of messages.
Good morning.
Good morning.
One of the problems with Finn's mic is it's a directional microphone. So unless you hold it straight up like this and speak into it, and you tilt it to the side, you drift off. So that was what the problem was. More importantly, gentlemen of Advent, it is time to gather again on March 11th at 6:30. And we're going to go to the Berea Union Depot restaurant, which is on Depot Street again. And all are invited. Bring your friends, relatives, neighbors, good food, good conversation, and good fellowship. Lastly, I'd like to thank everybody that came last night to our spaghetti dinner. We had a good turnout. It was free, but there was a very generous free will donation that was made by the participants, and I thank you very much for it. In the Bible, it says, it is better to give than to receive. Saying that, we have half a sheet of a cassata cake left over. So, I am giving it to you to take home, to your friends, your relatives, your family. If you know somebody in Canada, you could send it to them. There would be a little problem with mad cow disease that the Canadians are a little bit flaky on, but so be it. Please take some home with you, because I cannot fit it into my refrigerator or my freezer, and in a couple more days, it'll go bad. So since you're going on vacation.
Not for a while.
Oh, all the better. You could take a lot with you. So, I'm sorry? Cassata cake. It is a cake with custard and strawberries filling and cream topping. It's to die for.
It's low-cal, Bob. It's low-cal.
It's low-cal. It's 1,000 goodies in every bite. So if you're a diabetic like I am, it's glorious. So please take some home with you. We had a lot of food left over last night. I bought enough loaves to feed a multitude. So we could have had 5,000 people come. no problem. But again, I also have to give kudos to the Evans family for their sauces that they made for us, and to John Crothall for his beautifully boiled and seasoned spaghetti, and to all the other people that helped clean up afterwards. Much, much appreciated. Thank you very, very much.
And a big hand to Pete. The only other thing I'd like to mention, you may remember, for those of you who attended the annual meeting, that I talked about sending a letter to the presiding bishop in support of Bishop Love. The vestry, I drafted a letter, the vestry signed off on it. I sent it to retired Bishop Little, who many of you may remember. He's been a good friend of Advent for many years. I asked him for his advice. He gave me some advice, suggested I tear it up and rewrite it. I'm in the process of doing that. But during the conversations with Bishop Little, I asked for your prayers for both Bishop Little and his wife, Sylvia. Sylvia has now moved into a memory care home. She tells Bishop Little that she wants to go home, but of course, he said when she was home, she didn't remember that she was home. So she's struggling big time. I asked him how he was doing. He said that, well, you know, the house is lonely. I miss her. So please hold up in your prayers, Bishop Little and Sylvia. Let's pray right now. Father God, we pray that you will surround Sylvia and Ed with your love, with your strength. Lord, these are faithful servants who have served you, who have been witnesses for you in a tough world. Lord, we pray during these last days of Sylvia that you strengthen her, give her peace, and also comfort and strengthen Bishop Little. Help him, Lord, to continue to be the witness that you called him to be. Love them, care for them, bring your grace on them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's continue our service by taking up our offering. We continue with the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of the glory in the face of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. Our Lord stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. And we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, that our Lord took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts, O Lord. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all of your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us pray now the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the peace. Alleluia.
I invite you to come and receive what the Lord has provided for us. Come in faith. We conclude with the post-communion prayer. Please join with me. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Folks, it was 55 this morning. It might be time to dig out your shorts and t-shirts as you depart in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.